All right, well, the title of my sharing tonight is It's Not About You, But Him. By this title, what do you think I'm talking about? Well, don't go answering here. What do they call that question?
Rhetorical
question. There we go. So I'm glad you answered that question. You know, we all want to live a life that's acceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, we all want to be accepted. We want to be a part of something that's wonderful. We all want to be loved. We want to be with a group of people that care about us and wants the best for us. You know, it's our nature. Our human nature is to be loved and be taken care of and have those that love us and take care of us. And, man, don't we all think about and dream about being like star athletes? If you're an athlete, what do you dream about? Being the best ever, right? Or maybe a musician. If you're a musician, you just dream about, oh, wouldn't it be great to be on stage and front of thousands of people and performing. Maybe you're business type and you want to make millions of dollars. You know, you dream about that. You think about that because those are the things in the world that we feel, worldly thinking, makes us feel accepted, right? Makes us feel like we're wanted. And I get it. That's just kind of part of our human nature to be accepted. And, of course, for us that have a spiritual life, the most important thing for us is that we want to be accepted before our Heavenly Father, right? So, you know, there's millions of people out there that are struggling with this thing called being accepted, that want to be loved, that want to be a part of something that's significant, that their life has purpose and meaning. And they're just reaching out all over the place to have that happen. You know, even in the churches today, people that are Christians, they're doing what they can do to feel like they're something special. You know, they build beautiful churches, cathedrals. They have wonderful ministries that they coordinate and organize. They write books, all kinds of different things so that they are participating and feel like they are accepted or that they look good before God. But really, it's not about what you have done. You have done, but it's what Christ has done. That's what counts. So it's not about you. It's about Christ. And if we can put our focus on Him versus us, then we will definitely be blessed. We will have all our needs met. We will have fulfillment beyond what we can ever imagine. You know, under the Old Covenant, Old Testament covenant, a worshiper, a believer, they would bring a lamb or an animal to the priest, right? They'd go to the temple. And they would sacrifice that animal, many times a lamb, so that they would be accepted by the priest and the church and everything else. And the thing is, though, the priest would not really examine the worshiper in order to determine whether he or she was worthy, but would examine what? The animal. The animal, is this animal unblemished, right? So Jesus Christ was and is our perfect, faultless sacrifice. And He's the one that would secure our forgiveness and our sonship. So it's all about Him. It's not about us, what we do. It's all about what He has done. He is our perfect sacrifice, and it's His perfect name that we use to claim healing and deliverance. So You know, as much as we think about ourselves, we need to get outside of ourselves and into who Jesus Christ is. You know, you are great. You're awesome. You're holy. You're sanctified. You're redeemed. You have the righteousness of God because of who you are, because of who He is, right? It's because of Him, not you. So the more we get into Him instead of us, then we can rise up to the greatness of who He is in us, all right? So, you know, you no longer belong to the enemy, the god of this world, Satan. And the enemy can no longer have you. But he can prevent you from enjoying everything Jesus Christ purchased for you by getting you to believe a lie. He is the great liar. That's all he can do. He can't do the truth. He doesn't know how to. He is the great liar. It says in John 8:44, and this is the latter part of that verse, talking about the adversary, Satan, that he abodes not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So that's the enemy. That's Satan. He's a big, fat liar. Okay? And the only way Satan can rob you and me is to get to us, get to our God-granted power and authority by getting us to believe a lie. He has to lie, because the truth is, we are righteous before God, right? We are redeemed. We are sanctified. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have it all. We are jam-packed spiritually. We're seated in the heavenlies. But the devil wants us not to believe that. He doesn't want us to believe at all. He gets us to believe negatively. Now, where does our believing come from? Where can we learn to believe?
Bible.
The Bible, God's Word, that's right. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes, yes. There's a verse in Romans 3:20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God. Who was that? Abraham. Was that Abraham or Jesus Christ? Yeah, I think that was Abraham there. So, yeah, believing. So that's the challenge we have, is do we believe it? Do we believe God's word, or do we believe the lie that Satan continues to throw at us? You know, one of the most common lies by Satan is the notion that God's opinion of you is based on your performance. Yeah, yeah, a lot of Christians, a lot of people get hung up on this lie that God, how he thinks about you is a result of how you live your life day in and day out, how you perform before him. Is that true?
No.
No, no. You know, do we have to be good to get God's love?
No.
No, no. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You know, God has already loved us in Christ, because it's all about him, right? It's all about Christ. He's already loved us. So we should not have any love problem. We should not have any acceptance problem. Not at all. You know, no matter how your day goes, you still are loved by him. You still are his cherished child. You are his, and he is yours. Let's take a look. I know I've sped through some of these verses, but I'll give you a chance to go to Romans chapter 6. All right? So Romans chapter 6, we'll look at this section of scripture here. There's wonderful truths in here. Romans chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 11. And here we go. Likewise, this is King James 6:11 in Romans. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what?
Dead
indeed unto what?
Sin.
Okay, so you're dead unto sin. Now we fall short, right? We mess up. But that's not what God focuses on. He focuses on who we are in Christ. He focuses on our righteousness because it's His righteousness, not ours. So this word reckon in the King James means to come to the conclusion. So we need to come to the conclusion in ourselves that we are dead to sin. But, alive unto God through who?
Jesus Christ
our Lord. Wow. We are alive because of Him. Not us, but Him. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Well, heck, why not? We are such wonderful chosen people, children of God. We don't want to live in sin. Now, again, we fall short, but that's not our intent to live in sin. And the exhortation of God's word is not to. Don't let that sin reign in our body, because we're dead to it. So don't let the dead bug you. All right. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those. Now, this is unbelievable, this next part. I mean, I just don't get this. This is amazing. He wants us to yield, present ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You know, I don't know about you, but if I died, you know the greatest thing that could ever happen to me? That something would raise me up from the dead, right?
Yeah.
And if I got raised up from the dead, what do you think I'd be doing?
Dancing.
I would be dancing, and yeah, woo, I'm alive again. Well, this is how we live our life, because we are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
Grace. God's undeserved favor. He loves us in spite of who we are. It's by grace you're saved, right? So take advantage of the grace that we have. Amen. Well, verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? What does God say? No, God forbid. Why? No, it doesn't make sense.
Of course not.
No, yeah, of course not. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members as what? Servants of righteousness unto holiness. Yeah, this is how we want to act. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't have it. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is what? Everlasting life. Wow. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that fantastic? That's a great section of Scripture, isn't it? So we want to keep things in the right perspective, right? It's not about us and our performance so much as it's about Him and His performance for us, His perfect performance on the cross, and what God did to raise him from the dead. This way we keep our focus on Christ and who we are in him. You know, you see, I know we fall short again. At times we do. And I guess if you want to feel bad about it, you can. But that's a lie. You don't need to feel bad about it. You got God's forgiveness. You have still his righteousness. So don't live a lie. Live the truth of God's word. You are his children. You are his righteousness. Yeah. When we fall short, we get God's forgiveness and move on victorious in Christ. You know, when you teach God's word many times, you want to have a call to action at the end, right? And here's the call to action tonight. Our call to action is in light of that we are Christ-like sons and daughters of God and that we are his best. We don't allow the lies of the world and by the adversary to put us down or to hold us down. Our call to action is to rise up and live victorious in Christ. What a great privilege, huh? We live victorious in Christ because of what he did, not because of who we are. Of course, who we are now are Christ-like children, huh? And we can walk with great boldness and conviction in our lives. All right, well, that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. And I trust you're blessed with the Word of God that we shared.